Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K to donate your car today.
No, I think, like I said, that's what we're trying to build, I think. And it starts with the coach, starts with the head coach, the intensity, bringing it every day, you know, taking no crap, you know, we're out there on the field. But also it comes at a time where with our guys offensively and getting over there and getting some tussles and kind of having some penalties and extra after the whistle can get us in trouble. But for mentality, I like it. I think that's what you want. I mean, I almost got in there, but I think maybe another day, maybe. So we'll see.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons back here at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. That was Patriots quarterback Drake May down at Gillette Stadium today. Joint practices with Washington, where there were not just one fight, there were two fights in that heated practice down there. Ted Johnson, first, before we get into Drake and Vrabel and all those things, just reaction to the fact that right out the gates, pretty early on, there was one, and then there was a second one. Two fights, one practice for the Patriots.
I loved it. You know what? I liked it because there wasn't really much to do about, you know, anything.
Scrapes, really. Right?
But I liked it. There, you know, guys are fighting for their careers. Mm-hmm. So if you're going hard, and it's high stress, high stakes, you know, football training camp, it's not surprising that there would be a couple. It didn't get to a point where you couldn't practice. I've seen it just totally deteriorate into a. This is a waste of time, but to see a couple, you know, dust ups, I like seeing that. I don't mind that at all.
And we didn't
was in the middle of one, and I like the second one. I heard the fire starter was Kayshon Booty, which I don't mind that at all.
But that doesn't that make you nervous though a little bit that like last year he had like some knucklehead comments. He's the parlay kid. Now he's kind of getting into a scrape. That said, Andy, this is the kind of thing that would have brought out the you people in you. But I was checking social media after the fight, and there were Pats fans that were there like, Mike Vrabel was the one that jumped into the scrum. He had blood on his cheek. We're so effing back. That's my coach. Pats fans were fired up today.
People know, is Kayshon Booty going up against an established, decorated, accomplished cornerback in Marshawn Lattimore?
Yep.
And so he didn't want to back down. And that's it's football is showing up every day and not backing down. So to have a couple dust-ups to me is normal.
I like it, and I like Drake May talking about the fight of the team, and I think you need that, and I agree with everything you said. I just think sometimes the perception from the outside affects the way these things are assessed. It's like if Gerard Mayo's team had fought, he's got an undisciplined team that, you know, it's going to cost him when it comes game day. And if he gets into a fight or if he jumps in, he needs to realize he's not a player anymore. You're the freaking head coach. Like, and I wonder how that's packaged.
It's in context. So look at that fight in context of how practices have gone. How did they look in before the fights? Buttoned up, professional. And so to me, it doesn't look bad. If it was, these guys haven't been on the same page. They don't know what they're doing. And then you have these fights, it would exacerbate that. To me, this was normal. This was normal. I didn't mind it.
No one was ejected from what I saw.
No.
I didn't see anybody exit.
People were ushered to the sideline like, hey, cool off.
Yeah.
Relax.
Von Miller, too. I think Von Miller actually apologized to Vrabel. I don't know if he was in on it, if he was how Vrabel got bloodied or whatever. But
did he do it from his wheelchair?
That was the hardest effort he gave all day.
He's old.
Some of his one-on-ones.
Let me ask you, speaking of wheelchairs, though, there was that play where Javon Baker, who we've been talking about a good amount, as have most people on the beat recently, he makes that play on a slant over the middle, rolls into the end zone for a touchdown, but then instead of a celebration, fires the ball 50 yards up into the air.
That's a penalty in a game.
bad celebration. Right behind me, Ted, I immediately hear someone just go, why did you do that? I turn around and it's Mike Reese, jaw like slack jawed, like, dude, you are literally doing exactly what has probably prevented you from making this team. That is a maturity issue. Yep. Couldn't keep a cool head. Made a dumb move like that. That would be 15 yards.
Correct? Yeah, it's a that would be a 15 yards.
So. And there's no positive to it. Like the fights, we can say there's a positive to. You're showing something. You're fighting back. You're standing your ground. Whatever.
Sticking up for your teammate.
There's no positives if you throw the ball in the air and get a 15-yard penalty. No positive. I mean, although, I don't know if you guys watched. Did you notice number 55, who I don't even know who that is, an offensive lineman who was in for the Patriots on the play? He saw the ball in the air, and he runs over and caught it like it was a punt, which actually made me
laugh. Why do I think that's Jared Wilson? I feel like
maybe it is?
I feel like that's Jared Wilson.
I thought he was 52.
No. Number 55 for your New England Patriots, Tyrese Robinson.
Oh, good old Ty Robinson. He made a nice fair catch on
it
the
punt.
It is
funny, though, that the people are looking at that and going, why did he do? Because he threw it 100 yards up into the air.
Right. And it's also, he again, launched it. I think it has to do with who it is. If Stephon Diggs does it, I think they look at it differently. But because it's a guy with a questionable youthful track record, development, whatever you want to call it, you look at it a different
way. And when
they
sit down and try to figure out who's that sixth receiver, and they add up all the evidence, that will be a factor in their decision. Just, it's a little thing.
Yep.
But it's also kind of a look into his emotional intelligence.
Well, plus, if you're only going to make a few plays, and when you do actually make one of those few plays, and then they go backwards 15 yards from the, like, yeah. Okay, your value, you just X'd out your positive value. It's a net loss.
Did you boys notice also earlier on when things were starting to get a little more rambunctious, like the emotional level on field as well as in the stands was ratcheting up? There was it wasn't a wheel route, it was a fade to Travion Henderson. He gets double covered in the end zone. Should have had it, but he gets interfered with, or so everyone thought, and the referees don't call a penalty on it. And then the crowd is calling for a flag, and everyone's pulling, like doing the whole flag pull thing. And who gets up? Jonathan Jones. And Jonathan Jones stares down at Henderson, then looks at the crowd, and then starts doing the whole, like, are you not entertained? He was playing with the crowd. It was kind of great to see, but also, Andy, how badly would you love to have Jonathan Jones?
Well, certainly with the depth of Gonzalez and Davis not really being out there, Jonathan Jones would be a valuable member of this
secondary.
Exactly.
You know what? I mean, you talk about a banner day. Alex Austin had a banner day.
And he's continued. And this is a stupid little thing, but when Vrabel keeps referring to him as double A,
yeah.
I feel like when you have a nickname,
MCO,
you've endeared yourself to the head coach a little bit. Like Dr. Gibby. Who he brings here from Tennessee. Like, when you nickname a guy for a certain reason, it means you have an affinity for him. You kind of like
right.
it. And I think double A Alex Austin is a guy, or Alec. Is it Alex or Alec?
Alex
Austin is a guy to keep, especially if you're going to have depth questions, injury questions, durability questions. But Fitzy, you touched on that play because I loved it. It was a penalty. Should have been a penalty. It was a horse collar. He actually was grabbing the back of his neck, and the refs were out there. Why they're not throwing flags, I don't know. But that was an example to me, and it's too late for this year, but if you're a football fan, that is the best environment to just kind of go watch something that is unique. The way they're competing. Now, you got to have your head on a swivel, because I don't know about you, Ted. I get overwhelmed in those, because you got four different drills going on in the four different areas of the two
fields. I didn't like that.
It's hard to keep
to watch two fields at once. Was it ever like that back in the day for you?
Yeah, yeah. You know, they do that just to maximize your time.
See, this media job's harder than you think it is, isn't it?
Hard. I was like, it's like, well, I'm watching two football games at the same time. I don't know which game to watch.
Oh my God, it's like the red zone.
Yeah. So,
but it's also from a fan perspective to see guys interacting, yelling, jawing, fighting,
you're close to the action,
and you paid nothing,
and you can hear the coach's dog cuss guy.
You guys didn't have to pay?
Nope, we didn't pay. I was with Teddy J. He parks anywhere he wants to. If you follow him around the park. Lot. No spots, no problem for Ted Johnson.
It was a different day, though. We were, you know, there's nothing going on at some of those other practices today. Even the concession wagons were like pushing around, like Bud Light. Like,
oh, absolutely.
There was a ball game like environment there today.
10,000 people,
fans on the ramps and everything else.
Let's just get it all out. I thought it was interesting as we're sitting there, and all of a sudden you hear this kind of noise off to the side, and you look over, and here's Jason Tatum walking onto the practice field.
Buzz.
There was a buzz. You know what? For Jason Tatum, it sounds weird, but for Jason Tatum to go to that practice, I think it shows you a little bit of what this team is kind of, you know, getting at, or what people think of it.
They're cool again.
They're cool again.
They haven't been cool the last couple
cool
of
again. Yeah.
Zula was there last week.
I mean, Bon Jovi was there, but he goes to all of them.
Yeah,
but
forget
Jason
him. Let's
Tatum
stick with
showing
Tatum.
Up for
yeah.
practice.
Jason,
I was like, okay, a little. This is good for the team.
There is a little, definitely a little bit
buzzy.
Of that. Yeah, a little bit of buzz. Also, by the way, he's
buzzing.
walking normally. Good, yeah. Seemed like he was looking fine, walking normally. No brace, no nothing, no boot or anything like that. I know we've seen some of that on social media.
But he should be back in late January.
Can I tell you a little birdie told me yesterday that Jason Tatum believes that he is way ahead of schedule?
Of course he does. So did Aaron Rodgers. So does every player that's ever rehabbed from any injury.
I'm
as long
just
as you didn't
know.
Get an infection and didn't go back for a second surgery, just you're always ahead of schedule. But I also,
good.
That came into my mind too, Jason Tatum. And it actually came into my mind that, so we're talking about Drake May. We think he kind of measured up, stood his ground, looked the part, whatever you want to call it. And then Jason Tatum's over there. And then we leave and Roman Anthony's signing an 8-year, $130 million. And I'm like, the young star vibe of Boston is great.
Thank God.
But who wasn't included in that? The Bruins. Going back to my three-point stance from yesterday, like there's three teams, there's buzz around the Patriots, there's obvious buzz in Fenway Park, electric nature, and we'll see where the Celtics go. They can still be a winning basketball team, and Tatum being there was part of that whole what's going on in the greater Boston sports right now. But from a pure teams perspective, I think those two teams are closer than last year's performances would indicate. Because the Washington Commanders were in the NFC title game. However they got there, whatever fell into place through the regular season, they got there. They're in the NFC title game. And the Patriots were essentially the worst team in football, right? They should have had the number one overall pick. They essentially won three games until Gerard Mayo screwed up the finale against the Bills. They're closer than that. And I believe Washington's going to have a little regression this year. I don't think they're as good as a deep playoff run.
Well, they didn't have Terry McLaurin.
Didn't have, and they might not have. Who knows how that
That's going to get done. They do not have a weapon. I mean, I know they still have Zach Ertz. And by the way, Austin Eckler, he's Sproulzian in his size. Like, that's a little dude.
Dude, give me their running backs all day. All day.
Yeah, Brian Robinson and Darren Sproles.
I love
I'll take Sproles, but I'll take ours over theirs.
I'm a big fan of their you know.
I'm kind of with you, Fitzy. I believe I said, what was the number I said on the hill with the
20.
20.5 touchdowns for the Patriots backfield.
Running backs.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Catching. Did you say
catch? No, I said total touchdowns.
Oh,
Dan,
I don't remember that.
Quick, do me a favor. Run outside
total
and find
touchdowns.
Out what someone did with Andy Hart and who this imposter is who's standing in his place.
Yeah, I'm a little uncomfortable with
call
all
it like
this.
I see it.
What?
I see talent, I acknowledge talent.
Yes, all right, and now Mason Miller, and I'm not for everyone.
So you don't want to give Patriots credit for their performance today because you don't think Washington's that good.
No, I do. I think these are two borderline playoff teams. That's what I think saw out there.
And on that front, actually, I think now would be an excellent time to do one of our little WEI afternoon games. Andy Hart, did you taking in today's joint practice between the Patriots and Commanders change your win total projection?
Absolutely.
Uh-oh.
Stiz, you want to give me the previous number? Since I know you like to keep track of these things, we have a very official tote board that we will update at the end of the preseason.
Yep, just give me a second. Let me pull it up, Andy.
You joint were low. Practices. You were 7.5.
I believe seven.
When last we met?
It was 8, and he dropped it half after like the first or second practice when the line, you know, sucked and blew.
Yeah, right. So Andy's at 7.5. Ted, 9.5. Dan, also at 9.5. Nick, your last one, 7.24, 9.5.
Okay, so I will update mine first. 7.5, we'll go back to 8. I'm back to 8. This is an 8-9 football team, and I think that's a good thing.
I'm thinking it's a half game worth kind of practice. I think they looked like the better team out there.
Positive half game.
So I'm going back up to my original bet that was a 10 win season. So I'm going from 9.5 to 10.
17-0.
Oh Jesus!
No, I'll go back.
No,
Ted, I'll join you in Club 10. I'll go back there comfortably. I was impressed with the operation today. I think this is just basically what happens. Again, semi-recency bias as well. Just the clown car fire that we bore witness to last year. I saw someone making a meme on Instagram earlier, Gerard Mayo saying, hey, listen, once those guys cross the white lines, there's nothing I can do for them. And juxtapose that with Mike Vrabel enters field, breaks up fight, gets blood on his face. Like, yeah, there is something you can do. It's called fight for your boys.
It was a good performance for a team that needed a measuring stick. You know, you kind of need to see them against other competition. And they didn't embarrass themselves. Like they had, you know, I thought Will Campbell had a couple, he struggled a little bit in one-on-ones.
Which seems to be his MO.
And I've always said this, some guys just aren't good drills.
Yeah.
Like they're not good in drills, but put them in team play where you're out there with the other 10 guys and they're much better. So
game day, Will Campbell.
You know, so there's
looks good in run blocking.
There's something to that. So
if I asked you, because one thing that jumped out to me, there was one rep, and I think it was in one-on-ones. It was right in front of us. Because one thing I had brought up to you, Ted, is I wanted to see the edge rushers. How did they hold up? There was one play, and I'm not sure who the right tackle was. He got his hands on Harold Landry, and it was like you getting your hands on me. He just, like, picked him up and said, you're not going anywhere, my friend. You weigh 210 pounds. You're not going anywhere. So that's something where I think we may have gotten a little ahead of ourselves with the edge rushers in particular, Harold Landry and Chasen, and what they can be.
That's Andrew Wiley.
Yeah, so they might be sub-rushers. We might, you know, they might be good contributors, but they're still, especially for Landry, undersized athlete. The other thing... The other way I would say is they didn't have Terry McLaurin, right?
Correct.
Well, the Patriots didn't have
Steph Diggs.
Well, Steph Diggs early on, or half Christian Gonzalez, or Carlton Davis, mm-hmm. Morgan Moses. And I'm not saying it's a good thing those guys aren't out there. I'm just saying for what we saw on the field matchup-wise back and forth, the Morgan Moses thing is really starting to worry me. I said it, whoever said managing load management, this feels like a lot of load management, like too much. Do you disagree?
Yeah,
like,
I'm starting to wonder about that.
What are we doing here?
It makes me a little bit nervous.
I know he's old, and I know he's only got probably so many bullets.
He talks a lot. That makes me.
Oh, you don't like that?
Can we just not have as much to say?
Rather glib last week when I chatted him up.
Do more, say less.
Yeah. That's all.
Walk softly and hit somebody.
Talk all you want when you show up for practice. And you don't pull yourself out of practice early. That's all.
Okay. Any other concerns? Because I did see one, and I believe your boy Bedard has been big on this. Lot of Kyle Duggar, I thought, getting taken advantage of in coverage.
A little bit.
Which?
Over the middle.
I don't know how long he can get by with saying he had an ankle injury like 13 months ago. At some point, you just have to say, guy can't
cover.
You
know what he's best at? He's best at filling on the run.
Yes.
That's it. But when you ask him to cover a tight end, yes, down the middle of the field, and that's really a more important job than filling on the run. So I do wonder where – but he was out there with the ones.
He was.
Look, I think he's a better than average safety. I just don't think he's quite as good as I think some people thought he was.
Interestingly enough, later on in practice, in a 3-safety set, he was replaced, as noticed by John Lyons, our pal. It was Craig Woodson, Jabril Peppers, and Hawkins.
Well, Jalen Hawkins has gotten some pub, and Woodson has been on the uptick. What do they call him? The eraser?
The professor? The eraser?
I think it's the eraser because he erases the offense or something like
he's
that.
He's 25.
I just wonder, we've had a conversation, and I don't remember what our total list of surprise cuts was, but is Kyle Duggar a surprise not on this team?
Nope.
Maybe traded?
No, I said one of the safeties. I thought either Duggar or Jabril Peppers would maybe be gone.
I think it
Kyle
would be
Duggar's Duggar. Kyle Duggar's got a bigger contract.
He does.
I think somebody takes him. I bet Duggar gets traded.
Yeah, we've lived through a year of people made excuses for him because of an ankle injury, but at some point I think you need to accept what he is, and when he's in coverage, he's a liability to your defense. And I don't know how willing this new regime is going to be to allow that to be there.
I don't see, those kind of safeties were leaders, were like vocal, were, you know, I've played with Lawyer Malloy, Rodney Harrison, and Kyle, he needs to be, I don't see him lead.
Right.
That's secondary. I think he needs to lead.
I agree with you. Usually when the guy is the physical, hard hitter, whatever, it comes with a certain aura, personality, leadership.
I don't know if you recognize his voice. I don't know if I've ever heard it.
He's kind of soft-spoken, quiet, not going to be yelling at anybody. And I just wonder, as you start to go down the roster, and we're going to be doing that for the next couple weeks as we get into preseason games starting on Friday night and then into next week with joint practices, Minnesota, that whole thing. We're going to start to be saying, who are the 53? And Duggar is a guy that I think we might start to have conversations about.
Let me ask you this question. Is, given the season-ending injury for Marcellus Dial, and not to say he is going to be getting very meaningful reps, the early soft tissue thing with Gonzo, we don't know what's necessarily going on with the load management with Carlton Davis, is cornerback depth slowly becoming the new number one concern?
Oh, yeah. It's not, not slowly. And it all hinges on, what do you think's going on with Gonzo and Carlton Davis? If they are Gonzo, we think it's just a hamstring injury. He rests, it heals, and you got your all-pro cornerback out there. Okay, eliminate that. Carlton Davis is a little bit weirder because sit out the spring, don't pass the conditioning run, take a few days,
was
pass
there something
it,
we didn't know about there. This guy?
I don't know. But
if it was really something to be concerned about, we'd know more.
Kind of. And some of the way Vrabel has talked about it, I forgot which day it was. I forgot even the exact phrase he said, kind of made me not worry about it. Yeah. It made him seem like he's not worried about it. And if he's not worried about it, then why am I going to worry about it just yet? But 617-779-7937. I'm sure you've seen some of the videos because they make the media shut their cameras off. But lots of fans roll on fights and things of that nature at joint practices. There was a lot going on at Foxborough, and a lot of it was good. What's your reaction to the way we're talking about the Patriots? A lot of positivity from the WEEI Afternoons crew here at Fenway Park. We're talking Patriots. Up next, we're going to talk quarterback comparisons, because we talked about it going into joint practices. Could Drake May show that he is worthy of that year two jump joining the hierarchy of top-end quarterbacks in the NFL? Well, let's just say he was on the field with Jaden Daniels, the new young measuring stick in the league, and handled himself pretty well. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, what's trending?
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by In the Game Peabody. The Red Sox and outfielder Roman Anthony have finalized an 8-year, $130 million contract extension. The deal includes a club option and will keep Anthony under team control through 2034. From ESPN's Jeff Passan, Anthony's deal with the Red Sox will start in 2026 and includes significant escalators that could take the maximum value of the deal to $230 million. Depending on where he finishes in AL Rookie of the Year voting, it could buy out either 3 or 4 years of his free agency. The Red Sox, meanwhile, won their 7th straight game last night. They beat the Royals 6-2. Garrett Crochet won his 13th game of the season. The Sox go for the sweep tonight. First pitch at 7:10. Dustin May will make his Red Sox debut. And here is the lineup. Roman Anthony, he's Rich and in left field. Then it's Alex Bregman at third. Trevor Story at short. Jaron Duran in center. Romy Gonzalez at first. Willie Abreu in right. Masataka Yoshida is your DH with Seidan Rafaela at second. And Connor Wong is your catcher, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI-FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan begins at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. Day 12 of Patriots training camp was a joint practice with the Washington Commanders. The Pats take on the Commanders in their preseason opener on Friday night with kickoff set for 7:30 at Gillette. And from yesterday, the Celtics traded newly acquired Georges Niang and 2 future second-round picks to the Jazz for rookie R.J. Lewis Jr. In a related move, the Celtics have agreed to a 1-year, $3.3 million deal with free agent forward Chris Boucher. It's the Great Game Card Giveaway at In the Game Peabody. Just walk in and ask for the GCG and get a free $25 game card. No purchase, no catch. Now through August 17th, only at In the Game. Haven't visited in a while? Now's the time. Restrictions apply. One per guest. See store for details. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live from Fenway Park coming up right after this.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
What kind of different challenge does Jaden Daniels pose?
Well, again, we'll have to see what they call and what Cliff calls and what they run. But talented, makes great decisions, but also very fast. And while he scrambles and he can run with the football, you know, rarely takes a big hit, which is very impressive for any player, especially a quarterback. And he's not the biggest guy, but you know, you just don't see him taking too many hits when he runs.
That was Mike Vrabel down at Patriots joint practices today, Gillette Stadium, and the Commanders talking about Washington quarterback Jaden Daniels. WEEI Afternoons here at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series official truck of the Red Sox. So you hear Mike Vrabel talking about Jaden Daniels. We've talked a lot about Drake May, and we feel like he's progressing. We feel like there's good signs. There was all of that talk. Well, I guess we need to go back to the spring. There was that hellacious 4 interceptions in 8 passes or whatever the hell that was.
First OTA practice.
But Pete Traeger told me to just dismiss that, forget about that. Okay, so right. Pete, I forgot about it. We've moved on. Then there was the whole stretch of no interceptions in camp.
Correct. Until Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Then he gets under the bright lights, so to speak, in a scrimmage environment where he was the number one overall pick. Number one overall draft pick for that, as he should be.
They took Drake first overall?
Can you imagine if they had done a draft and you didn't take Drake number one overall? That would be a bad look for the football team. But he had a couple turnovers in that. One tipped ball interception, another interception. Didn't win, for whatever that's worth, with Stretch, John
Stryker. The Pastrnak won.
Yes, he won. Now, it was a modified Stableford scoring system where you could actually score points for like pass rushing and doing various things. But he lost. Today, we're talking about good practice until...
2 minutes.
2 minutes. And then what happened?
Then the ball got tipped at the line of scrimmage and intercepted.
Okay, I don't want to be Mr. Negative. It just comes naturally. Is there a thing here? Because we talk about end of games. He's great. He does this. He gets you to overtime, and then he throws a pick in overtime. Mm-hmm. He gets you, you know, clean through 10 days of practice, gets to this big scrimmage, throws a pick, or gets against Jaden Daniels, and now it's in the gotta-have-it period of practice. Throws a pick. Like, when does he shake this? When does he shake it? And how does he shake it?
He better. It's soon, because that's the most. It's the most important situation in football. It's more important than third down. It's more important than red zone. To me, 2 minute is. People ask me, how did you know Tom Brady was Tom Brady? I was like, when I saw him run the 2 minute, he was so much better than Drew. That's boom, 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 making decisions, getting the. And so when you can score that fast, you know, when you want to go in that hurry up, it's such a weapon for you. It's so. I think it's still too soon to just think, okay, that situation in football is he's terrible at. I see where you're going with that. I need to see more with Josh in this new offense. And to me, that is the situation. I am basically, I hope he's brilliant at it, because you know that's what Tom was, and that's what this team needs, is a very good high end game manager when it's on the line.
But how much progress do we need to see from Drake May? Vis-a-vis not turning the ball over in the 2 minute drill, not turning the ball over at the end of the game, to then ultimately chalk up last year's turnovers to, well, he was a bad coach and bad offensive line, and he was a rookie, so it was part of the learning curve, versus like, hey, this might actually be a thing.
Oh yeah, no, and that's my point, is I think there were two things on the field today down in Foxborough. Last year, the thing was Jaden Daniels at the end of the game. Wins the game. Mm-hmm. Finds a way to win the game. It might be crazy.
Helps having a Terry McLaurin.
Whatever. Right. But he finds a way to win the game.
Just so people know, Jaden Daniels did not hit his receiver in the end zone during the 2 minute, though.
He did not. That is fair.
So, there you go.
But he's done it with the bright lights on of an NFL season.
Yes, he has.
And so, like, he's not perfect. Jaden Daniels won't be perfect. You know, I think he's going to have a regression. But he already proved, at least for one season, he has it. Or special, or do that. Make the play, game on the line. You might be, you know, having a bad day. But it's the fourth quarter and we're down four and we're driving. I find a way to finish that drive in the end zone, win the game, and then we all laugh about it later that I threw a pick in the first quarter, right? But if you don't do that, then the pick in the first quarter is magnified because that's all you did that day. And that's, I feel like talent-wise, overall talent-wise, maybe even stat-wise, like you look back, Jaden Daniels played 17 games, threw for 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Like, those are good numbers.
Yep.
Ran a lot.
He ran a lot. So did Drake May. Sometimes you gotta run.
900 yards though.
Like, no, I know.
Significant amount.
I think if Drake May had played 17 games, he would have probably rushed for in the games he played for. I believe Drake May led the NFL in rushing at the quarterback.
He averaged just under 50 yards a game.
Yeah. So, but my point is, I think talent wise, Drake May feels closer to Jaden Daniels than clutch wise or whatever, gotta have it wise, however you want to term it. Ted, like, that's the final piece of that, like, next step.
Man, that's
puzzle.
Tough. I hear you. Part of me puts that a little bit on the coaching, the offensive line, and the wide receivers he had last year.
Mm-hmm.
It just does.
What about this year?
Yeah, this year I'll hold a higher standard to him when it comes to that. I will not be excuse it away. I won't tolerate it. So he's got to show me something in that situation this year. I think he's got better coaching. I think he's got a better offensive line. I think he's got better wide receivers. So I expect him to be significantly better when it comes to operating the offense in the 2 minute. Now, he did get back into the Tennessee game. I mean, he went down on his
Tennessee,
and in the overtime, he pooped the bed. But, you know, he did kind of win that 2 minute situation that he needed to just to get the game into overtime. That's one example, even though it turned out to be a loss. That was a nice execution, at least in that 2 minute in regulation.
And that was a huge game, because I still say if that had been a game winner on that play,
yep,
instead of gave him a shot to now throw a pick in overtime, you know what I mean? That whole narrative story feel of that changes if that's the game winner.
You called that last year the Drake May audition tape on the Six Rings post game show.
Yep.
Which I don't disagree with at all.
Auditioning for what?
Well, it was a
The Drake May recruitment tape. Excuse me, I misspoke.
To send out to tape. Offensive players and be like, you want to play with this guy?
Because he's going to be
kind
fun.
Of stuff he can do, but he needs you to help him kind of thing.
But of all the different game-ending turnovers last year that he made, which is the one that was the most egregious to you, or which is the one that is still stuck in your craw? Like, man, that's the one I'm worried about.
Well, the sideline throwaway that wasn't a throwaway, that was an interception that I think
should have been the tuba player.
That's as bad as it gets.
That's as bad as it gets.
To me, the one that still worries me a little bit was the miscommunication with Pop Douglas when Pop would have been open down the seam.
Yep.
And he and that ended the game against the Rams, a game that was very winnable, despite the fact that they made a lot of dumb plays.
And that's where my point is, like, they
Rams were surgical in that game. But go ahead.
Yes, but my point is, they kind of piled up those plays of like, oh, they don't make the play at the end last year, while Jaden Daniels piled up the, because there's some number with Jaden Daniels. He had like 5 touchdowns inside of whatever kind of thing, and that's how you end up with a 12-win record as a rookie quarterback. Yeah. You flip those games like the Red Sox, those one-run games. You flip those games early in the year, they were a really good baseball team. You can't flip those games. You lost those games.
I mean, you're right, though. There's a thing with Drake May.
And
when
I also
it comes to turning the ball over at the end of games, you're right. He needs to prove that he's gotten better at that.
Also, and I haven't done enough research. I don't remember his career well enough at North Carolina, but listening to him talk the other day, he was talking about how a couple seasons there, they were off to a good start, 4-1, 5-1. They were ranked like 11th in the country, and they would have that big game that was going to actually, boom, lift them. Now we're going to be top 5. We're going to be this.
Could never do it.
And they lost it.
Mm.
Yep.
And I liked that he sort of told the story matter-of-factly, and he actually said something to the effect of, was kind of the story of my career at North Carolina, which I give him credit for the honesty, but now I'm like, does he not have that clutch Dan Ball? Dan Ball, we always talk about clutch ability. Does he not
Can't quantify it.
Yeah, you can't quantify it, except
yes, you can.
You can kind of quantify it
when you see it.
I can kind of quantify it with touchdowns for Jaden Daniels late in games. Mm-hmm. Turnovers for Drake May late in games. Those feel like quantifiable measures. And again, I liked 90% of what I saw down there today. I thought he measured up to Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels is better. I was listening to some of the Washington reporters talk about how they feel like he's bigger and stronger and he put on some muscle and all these things.
Not going to play Friday either, which is a bummer.
I wouldn't play him either. I would not.
You thought it was far and away clear, easy.
He was the best quarterback on the field.
He was the best.
Yeah, he made some throws, even on incompletions. And you know what some of it might have been, Ted? Honestly, our vantage point sitting on the hill when he was throwing out, kind of viewing the field from his vantage point and some of the spots he was throwing into and the throws he made. I was thoroughly impressed with him. I think they have something special in Washington. And the question is, do we have something special here? I guess that's the way to boil this all down. Is there something special here in New England? And I don't know when we're going to get that answer. Because if we keep bitching about Will Campbell and we keep bitching about Morgan Moses, doesn't that push the answer off? Because we keep giving excuses, right? We keep giving excuses to Drake May in the offense.
Well, you don't have to bitch about Morgan Moses. You can just sort of let that come around. And as far as Will Campbell goes, the guy needs at least a month of football before we can start the whole like, oh, good, now we're going to have to kick this guy into guard, and now we got a bunch of left guards and no tackle yet. I'm going to give him that first month, as difficult as that first month is going to be, and as difficult especially as his first game is going to be as well.
Yeah, no, I'm not giving – I want to make that clear because I've seen some of that on – so like that I've given up on Will Campbell. Absolutely have not given up on Will Campbell.
There's a whole meeting. They get together. They have coffee and donuts every
Will
week.
Campbell was the guy I wanted all along to play left tackle.
That is true.
And I also, guess what, don't care if he loses one-on-ones. If he's good in games and bad in one-on-ones on the far end of the field with guys with binoculars telling, he went 3-7-2 in one-on-ones, don't care. Get on the field, and whatever the entire blocking scheme is, if you do that on Gillette Stadium on Sundays and take care of Drake May and open holes for Ramondre Stevenson, then I don't care what you do in one-on-ones, right? That's irrelevant. Like, that's minutia for the media to put in their little blogs and notes. I've not given up on him. The line in general, when you tell me Drake May, your line sucked your rookie year, and in your second year, you know what they're going to do for you? They're going to start 3 rookies in front of you. If you're Drake May, do you love just the sound of that, the idea of that, theoretically?
Nope, that does not give me comfort one bit.
How about handing the ball off to a rookie and then throwing to a rookie as well?
Oh, there's some of that.
Kyle Williams and Trey. There could very well be a formation early in the season where 5 of the 11 people on offense are rookies.
Good. And that could either be really good or
like
really bad.
Well, you know what I like? If they're good, like if Jared Wilson turns out to be a steal, and if Will Campbell's what we think he is, and Kyle Williams, people think that he is a steal, then they're all going to grow up together.
Right, like Fenway Park.
It's right. Then you got all these young guys trying to build something that all of a sudden create a core, which this team hasn't had a real strong core in forever.
And that's where there is absolutely, you're right, Ted, an opportunity for the story of a lot of rookies playing to be good or bad. Either it's not going well, they look like rookies, are making, or, oh my God, we got a young core here that's learning and growing, and they're actually playing pretty well right now, but imagine how well they're going to play in a half a season, a season. And it's what we're doing at Fenway. We talk about Roman Anthony is here. Rafaela is here. Abreu is here. When he's healthy, Marcelo yep. Meyer is here. You're seeing a core that's winning, and that's awesome because now I can project what, 5 years from now the same core.
What makes me a little bit nervous, I haven't heard Kyle Williams. I didn't see him at all today.
Quiet.
He had one pass broken up in our corner of the end zone.
I just, to me, he's got ability. And, you know, I hope that, look, I mean, he's making the team. I hope that he's active and good enough to be out there, you know, on game days. That's what I hope.
He has not flashed enough for me, and I continue to get worn down. I think it's stupid to say if the Patriots draft a receiver, he's not going to be good because they're the Patriots, and when they draft receivers, they're not good. It's stupid, right?
New sheriff in town.
That should make no sense, except you're worn down by the evidence of the years for a while, and there's a bunch of people that have come through here at wide receiver right. That weren't very good, and that annoys me.
Very happy to report, by the way, as fans are now teaming and streaming into friendly Fenway Park in advance of tonight's game from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. Way more Sox jerseys than Royals jerseys.
That's right. There's an uptick. They're catching on. It's a pretty good baseball team right here at Fenway Park, the Red Sox. WEEI Afternoons here at Fenway Park. Up next, the Patriots put out a depth chart, and it is unofficial. I need to say that. It's unofficial. It is put out by the PR staff, but it generally makes its way to the desk of the football staff as well. They kind of sign off on it. I've been involved with this process in the past. The Patriots' unofficial depth chart and some of the notable names on it and where they are. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Like, what's the game plan for the starters, specifically Drake, come Friday night?
I would say most everybody that's healthy should expect to play in the game. How long they'll play, I don't know, but we have to prepare to play in football games and, you know, prepare to win football games. So that's the mentality that we're going to take.
Mike Vrabel today down at joint practices at Gillette Stadium talking about Friday night's preseason debut. The Washington Commanders, the New England Patriots. Fitzy, you said earlier Jaden Daniels not going to play.
It was just announced on ESPN that Jaden Daniels is not expected to play in Friday night's game, which means you are going to get a whole lot of Mariota, Josh Johnson, and of course, that gorgeous Sam, what's his face, the old Notre Dame?
Hartman?
Sam Hartman. Really, a friend of yours?
No. Is Mariota still on their team?
I think so.
I didn't see him out there today. I'm not sure he's on their
is
team.
Is he not on the team anymore?
I thought it was Johnson and Hartman out there today. But Drake May is going to play, basically, because Vrabel said everybody on our team is going to play some, how much that is. Mm-hmm. I had heard rumblings of maybe 2 series or so.
Yep.
We'll see how that goes. But the Patriots depth chart. So you'll have quote-unquote starters out on the field to start the game on Friday. Who's the starter at left guard?
Well, that's
Cole Strange?
Nope.
Jared Wilson.
So I can't believe
Jared
what
Wilson.
I'm reading, huh?
Jared Wilson.
Because that's the one on my depth chart, Cole Strange. Jared Wilson, they have as the third string center. Mm-hmm. They do not have him in the first 2 units, so I think that's one where we would all push back on. Do we believe Garrett Bradbury is now locked down the center job because Jared Wilson is going to play guard? Is
by default.
Or could Cole Strange still win the center job?
Garrett Bradbury got hurt in the same, but you know, some people think that Ben Brown is making a bit of a late charge here for
bad Ben
starting
Brown.
Center. Yeah.
Yes, Dan Ball.
No, I was going to add that same thing in. I saw the reporting coming out that not bad, but that he's been good enough to be your first team
Cole
center
Strange,
taking snaps with May.
Is Cole Strange not going to make this team?
I do think there's a chance Cole Strange could be one of the odd men out here. Because remember,
he's at a career crossroads.
You're mocking me, but I was right.
Yes. You're not wrong if you're telling the truth, right?
Right. The truth, it's never mean and it's never wrong. I asked a guy.
I mean, that was objectively mean.
I asked a guy who
was really a
couple days after the interview lost his job, right? Moved from the left guard starter to backup rotational center and stuff. And now you guys are telling me he might not make the team. That feels like a career crossroads.
You know what? It's more about the old regime. I mean, yes. Poor Cole Strange. Tennessee, Chattanooga. He wasn't supposed to go where he went.
Nope.
But Belichick thought he was the cat's meow. And so he takes him in the first round, and he's just never lived up to it. I was hoping he would. I mean, but it's just because I was like, okay, you're not a first-round offensive lineman, but at least you've got to be serviceable. It doesn't even feel like he's a serviceable guy.
Yeah, Jared Wilson. Okay, let's just say, first of all, Trent McDuffie would have looked a whole hell of a lot better in a Pats uniform as opposed to Cole Strange in that round, or many other people. Second of all, Jared Wilson goes in the third round. If Cole Strange went in the third round, we would not have any of the anxiety that we have over his inability to stay in the lineup had he gone later in the draft where he was supposed to, as opposed to, yeah, you and I were on the air that night and both said at the same time, I'm sorry, who?
Yep. So did Sean McVay when he laughed at it. Didn't know it was going to go viral, but he laughed at it. But Ted, you've been big on it's notable that Jalen Polk could get cut. Surprise cut, not a surprise cut. He's a second-round pick in his second year. That should be surprising. The fact that it might not be tells you the problem here. You could also have a former first-round pick cut. Not that, so you could have Cole Strange cut, first-round pick. You could have Jalen Polk, second-round pick cut. We just talked about
Kyle Duggar better be careful.
Right. Second-round pick who you gave $55 million to re-sign could be an odd man out. The wide receiver position I also find interesting. They list Stephon Diggs, think we can all agree, starting wide receiver on this team.
Correct.
DeMario Douglas, starting slot receiver. Yep. Then they have Kendrick Bourne as the third starting receiver.
Ooh, nope, that ain't happening.
Nope.
And you say that, Ted, not just because that he's been injured, right?
Correct.
You don't think he's necessarily that. Who would you put in that slot?
Matt Collins is the foregone conclusion. I put Matt Collins in there.
Okay. Kayshon Booty?
I would put him in there.
Jalen Polk?
Nope.
They have Jalen Polk on the second team. Do we agree with that?
No.
Uh-huh. Ooh, I think he's on a different team, not the second team.
The second team would be his second NFL team.
Yes, absolutely. Not this one, and maybe his last if he doesn't turn things around quickly, because he's a guy that was sold to us as doesn't, you know, he's not flashy, not super fast. He just kind of does what he needs to do. Not a lot of separation, but he will get open and catch the ball. And then you look at those guys and you're like, I don't think he really gets open and he doesn't really catch the ball or make plays or run great routes or do anything.
Any of the things? Would you say he's at a career crossroads?
No. Actually, no. I think he's at a career over roads or something.
Yeah, plenty of great teams in the CFL that he could go take on the crossroads.
That would be my point.
Yeah. He could redeem himself in the UFL.
I could see Cole Strange landing on a different team, and then we look in 5 years and you go, wow, Cole Strange is still in the NFL? Yep. I don't think Jalen Polk is going to be in the NFL in 5 years. Defensively, there's a couple. Ted, you just mentioned it. One of our favorite aggregators was out there putting together some notes on the Patriots front seven. I call it, what do they call it? Engagement farming, Fitzy.
That is correct.
He wants reaction.
Or rage baiting.
Rage baiting, whatever. Do the Patriots have the best front seven in football? Or one of them?
Not even close.
Yeah, not even close. Thank you, Ted. Appreciate your honesty. But let's see, because nose tackle, we haven't talked about this guy at all, partially because I don't know how to say his first
name. Tyrese Tonga?
Yeah,
Tonga. He did not look bad out there today. And he's also only like $2.25 million.
Yeah. Is he their starting nose tackle? Is he a starting defensive tackle? Are you going to have three big guys there? Because they list Christian Barmore, Tonga, and Milton Williams as their starters on the defensive line up front.
Think they're big? See, I feel like they're the new age defensive lineman, like around 300 pounds. Like, look, I played with Ted Washington, 400 pounds.
He's a big man.
Seymour was 330 pounds.
Yep.
That's underestimating Ted Washington.
These guys are big, but they're not like they used to be. So the game's faster. They play more reps. They wear them down. So they want smaller defensive linemen. I think these guys, all three of them kind of fit that bill, Tonga, Williams, and Barmore.
So what do we have? Is that Keon White, Tonga, Barmore, Milton Williams, Landry?
Yes, and then your linebackers are Spillane and Christian Ellis.
That's it.
I think is probably accurate.
Don't get hurt.
Nope, not a lot of depth there. Interestingly, for those of you that still care about this, another draft pick that could be in trouble, hasn't really found a spot fit, they do list Marte Mapu as the backup linebacker. He was drafted as a safety hybrid linebacker. He's officially
Daniel Jeremiah is going to possibly eat that L.
Yeah, that didn't go well. And Anfernee Jennings, Ted Johnson, you actually brought this up during the break. You said something like, have you seen much from Anfernee Jennings? Have you?
Nope, nothing.
They list him as the second outside linebacker behind Keon White. it wouldn't surprise me if he's not on this team. He was definitely a Steve Belichick, Bill Belichick, pipeline.
I'm sorry, you got to be able to rush the passer a little bit.
Agreed.
You can't just be good at setting the edge.
Yeah, I think this defense wants to be athletic.
Yeah.
Like from front to back. If you're fat, you're still going to be athletic. You can't just be fat. You can't just be a fire hydrant, a Ted Washington like that. Vince Wilfork would work because he was a fat and athletic. But I think they just want athleticism on the field.
Hefty.
And I don't think Anthony Jennings fits with what they want to do with Vrabel here. So 617-779-7937. We see your phone calls lining up a little bit here, talking a little Patriots. Coming up on 5 o'clock, it's time for the drive. You're getting in your car to head home from work. It's been a great day. You're going to go home, sit by the fire pit, maybe have a beer. Maybe that's just me projecting. We're going to take you back to some of the biggest stories we talked about over the last 3 hours here on WEEI Afternoons. It's 5 o'clock, time for the drive.